Oh my goodness, I think it was in the way back in the early 1900s. I came across an article from a study that had been done in Europe, I think by a German scientist, and I think he was a geologist, yeah. I think his name was Wagner, but I can't remember now. I just can't do it. But I'm trying to do the best I can with it. And I saw what he had put out, and I said, that's right. I know that's right. It has to be right. Not too many people believed it at first, but then as time passed, it became more and more apparent the man knew what he was talking about. And finally, this is what you see. It's not a theory anymore. Everywhere you see a black line on there, there's a crack that goes all the way down through the interior of the earth. Everywhere you see a black line, and those things are called tectonic plates. And then after that, I began to go to different places. I've traveled a lot. And I began to survey a lot of these faults just to make sure. I didn't want to tell people something that I wasn't absolutely certain of. Now, I'm going to make this just as plain as I possibly can. All this years about, we've argued about the earth warming, global warming, things of that nature. Really, it hasn't mattered to me very much. I'm going to tell you why today, and I'm going to give you a warning. We're at the close of this age. You say, well, a lot of preachers have said that down through the ages. Sooner or later, one of them's got to be right. I think I'm right. And I know I have to stand before Christ and answer for what I preach. You all know what global warming is going to really be? Everywhere there's a black line, there's going to be a tremendous earthquake according to the Bible. Now, according to the Bible, there's going to be a tremendous earthquake, and it should be down the Jordan River Valley over here on the right-hand side of your sheet. It should involve this whole middle plate here in the Mideast, and it ought to extend all the way up into Italy. You're going to have volcanic eruptions coming out on that like man has never seen before in his life. You say, well, I don't believe that. You better believe it. You say, well, why should I believe it? Because those cracks aren't there by accident. And they're controlled by God. That's why. He controls them. Can you imagine all those plates starting to move? And I don't mean miles. If those plates were all to move 1 foot, you would have a holocaust that is described throughout the book of Revelation. You say, well, why do you believe it's true? Because God has it in the book of Revelation. And these scriptures here all indicate one of the most horrible things that has ever happened to this planet is going to happen at the very end of the tribulation period. Now, when I came into our work, I was put in positions where I was exposed to things that I had been taught as a boy back up in the woods before I ever got all this marvelous education. But God meant for me to get it. So when I said something, I could know that it's true. Whatever God says, I believe. He didn't have to prove anything to me. But he's shown me how little I know. And he's taught me how much he knows. So as I go through and look at this, I want you to listen to what this says. And I want you to ask yourself, is there a God or isn't there a God? And if there is a God, and there is, and these cracks all move, and the scriptures indicate at the very end of this age, All Hades is going to break loose on this earth. This magma comes up at about 1,200 to 1,600 degrees Celsius. You talk about global warming, it's going to be hot as Hades down here. Now, the bulk of this tremendous shifting is going to occur after the seventh trumpet. And I won't get to when that seventh trumpet's going to occur. It's going to occur on the seventh trumpet, but I'm going to try to place it in a general area. It will take me two Sundays to do it. So I'm going to start today, and Chuck's going to preach next Sunday, and the next Sunday I'll come back to it. This is not imaginary. This is the truth. You say, well, I believe what God says. Well, it's just exactly what God says. And God owns, operates, and controls this earth. One of the most influential and important scriptures in the Bible is in the last chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, all power, not some, but all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay. When's all that going to turn into something that we're going to be in heaven in glorified bodies? And we're going to have to give an account. If we're saved, we'll have to give an account to God for our conduct after we were saved. And I want us to really think about that. You say, well, you're trying to scare us into being saved. No, you're past that. I got scared to death about going to hell. And God convicted me. And what I did, I repented of my sins and turned to God and came to understand that that was His grace toward me. I've preached that to you many times. I've proved it to you many times. I'm just going to read these scriptures, and I'm going to highlight Haggai 2, 6, and 9. Remember, all these cracks are there. Remember, God made the heaven and the earth. Remember, all power in heaven and earth is given unto God. And He controls all these plates. You say, well, it's just your opinion He's going to use that. No, it's not my opinion. It's a fact. Romans 8, 22. You say, why is it a fact? Because God said He was going to do it. You say, well, why do you keep showing us this? That's what it takes with some people. Some people are so mutilated, you could go out there and show them the Lord shining with all His glory and it put out their eyes, but they wouldn't be quite sure of what they saw. He says, God's creation groaning, shaking, and travail has gone on since Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was, hayitha, became. And the earth became without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Jesus said He beheld Lucifer as he fell from heaven. That was when Lucifer fell. Now, ever since then, this is what's been happening on this earth. You've known that in your lifetime. But if you've lived long enough, you know that this whole planet has suddenly begun to produce the most unbelievable weather phenomena. And the very things that God said would happen. Now, you better believe it. Why? Because God said it would happen. I don't want you to believe it because I show you a colored chart up here and tell you all these cracks are there. The only reason I show you that is because God led me to this. I didn't make it up myself. And all of a sudden I realized, man alive, God's going to shake the earth to its very foundation and He's going to produce a tremendous warming of the earth's crust. But we won't be here when that tremendous warming occurs because it's going to be when God's wrath is poured out on the earth. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, the rest. This is what I write after it. The current situation in the Middle East, the unstable world economy, the increase in earthquake and volcanic-related phenomena, the world economy, the rapidly declining morality on a worldwide basis, the ever-increasing attack on the Bible and its validity, the attempt to remove anything which could be, which would could be on the Bible and its validity, the attempt to remove anything which could be associated with God from public places, and a falling away from the truths once delivered to the first New Testament churches, has convinced me Haggai's prophecy in Haggai 2, 6 through 9, and we're going to cover that and scriptures that have to do with it, will be fulfilled. The branch, that's the Lord, the branch, the root, he's the root. Haggai's prophecy in Haggai and a falling away from the truth once delivered to the first New Testament churches has convinced me Haggai's prophecy in Haggai 2, 6 through 9 will be fulfilled. The branch, the root, the rod out of David, the man who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will return to build the temple of Isaiah 40 to 48. So sometimes just sit down and read that. I will cover it eventually. But everything fits. You say, what does it fit, God's Word? Do you think that I would be teaching this if it didn't fit God's Word? Do I want you to have high regard for me as being smart and intelligent and everything else? Yeah, at one time I did. But I'll tell you what I learned. I don't know, I am one incompetent nincompoop. So is everybody else. I have a carnal nature, and so do you. And even after you're saved, and you start trying to do what God wants, if you don't stay on the track God puts you on, you're going to be miserable, absolutely miserable. You say, well, then I won't go to heaven. Wrong. Go ahead and be miserable for the rest of your life. Once you realize that God is in control, after you get saved, you don't worry about your children. You don't worry about the Bible. You don't worry about this. You don't worry about that. God says so. Believe it. It's that way. Because that's the way God chose to let us know. So let's start with this. The branch, the root, the rod out of David, the man who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will return to build the temple of Ezekiel 40 to 48. Okay, let's take Haggai 2:6, the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while. What's a little while with the Lord? A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. He doesn't look at time like we do. God is eternal. You say, what do you mean? He's Alpha. You say, oh, he was there in the beginning. He was there before the beginning. He was the only thing there was. And he created time. Created the angels. Created man. Took on the form of a man. And died for us. At least the part of him that had taken on the form of man. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm saved. Been saved a long time. Most of you sitting here, you've been saved a long time. I know some of you are interested in what the Lord has to say. I know you're interested. You're interested in that gap theory. You love it to death. Well, that's good. That's why I respect you so much. Because you're interested in that. Who do you think gave you all that interest? God did. God deals with each man in his own way. He prepares each man in his own way. And he tells us, now here's how you got to worship me after you're saved. Well, thank God you don't go to heaven, because you may slip up and have to run back and ask for forgiveness many times. Thank God for that. You know what it's called? Grace. Grace. Now let's take a look. Isaiah 29:6. Well, I'd say when God said he was going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and Isaiah, different prophets, said Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. That has just happened in these last days. I'm a professional meteorologist. I also have to answer to God for what I say, because I'm not supposed to mislead anybody. I'm telling you, what we just went through was something unique in meteorological history. I've never gone up and told you, because this happened in meteorology, then this is going to happen and cause the Lord to come at such time. I've never done that. I've told you I can't tell you the time, the week, or the day. I can't. But I can sure tell you when it's getting real close. And that's what I'm attempting to do. I'm not trying to scare you to do anything. I'm trying to tell you that God's grace is laying there for you. If you want to claim it, what you have to do is repent toward God. What does that mean? Turn to God. You say, what causes me to turn to God? He scares the pants off of you. You're frightened. That's what happens. And there you are. And then all of a sudden, you repent toward God. You turn toward God. And you put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ after having repented toward God, I guarantee you, He saves you. But there's a struggle before He saves you. And you can't put on the yoke and serve God until that happens. Most people don't understand what happens to them when they get saved, and it's not God's fault. It's their fault. He says, Malachi 4, 1 and 2, another prophet. For behold, the day cometh, there shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That belongs to God. That's not the way He created it. But that belongs to God. There was nothing created that was not created by God. That belongs to Him. When it was created, the devil hadn't gotten into business. God's been taking care of that all the way along. And He's still taking care of it. I tell you what He wants to happen to you after you get saved, and what He wanted to happen to me. God wanted me to come to Him and put myself under His wings like a mother hen gathereth her chicks. And I did. And here I am. Israel's temple was forsaken. You know why it was forsaken? Jesus told him, He said, I sent unto you the prophets. He told him the one He sent to him, and He said, how oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen gathereth her chicks, talking to Israel? And He said, and you would not. Well, I can tell you all about that now. Because I've been saved. I've been scripturally baptized. You say, well, did that save you? No way did it save me. It's the first step of obedience God wants you to take. If you've got any doubt about your baptism, it won't hurt you to get dipped again. Think about it. Because Matthew says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. There's destruction sitting there right now waiting for every one of us. Every person on the planet, it's sitting there. You say, well, that's science. No, that's God. There isn't anything that God didn't make. He made all things. And God can do whatever He wants. All I've ever done since God called me into this is not to try to argue with God, but to be able to show people, look, this is so plain as the nose on your face. And people today, you can tell people this till the cows come home. And They didn't want to hear it. I'll finish this up, Lord willing, in a couple, and not this Sunday, but next Sunday, or that after Chuck preaches. I really like Chuck's preaching. Chuck gives it to you straight up. If you don't like it, he's liable to give you a lecture up behind the church. Will I ever get over that, Chuck?
I don't know.
Why don't you just come up here and sit here and put that thing for me? I can't hardly see it. He says in Haggai 2:7. Now remember, we've already covered Haggai 2:6. Now we're going to 2:7. What does he have to do to get you to believe it? And I will shake all nations, and the desire. What is the desire of all nations? What's my desire? To live forever. That's the desire of all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. How many are ready? It's Jesus. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. There's going to be a rapture, and it's going to be a split rapture. And I've discovered some things in the last few weeks that, and a lot of preachers have helped me and taught me, and I'm going to try to bring us all to a point next Sunday after Chuck preaches. Now remember all these cracks. You want to see something before you? There shall no sign be given except that of Jonah the prophet. What do you think these things are? In the last day, God indicated prophecy would be unsealed. You can read the last chapter of Daniel, and he tells you that. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after what things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man. Then now they're going to see him. This is the last part of the tribulation period. In a cloud, coming with power and glory, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall the Son of Man be coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You better get ready for that. And if you're saved, scripturally baptized, you better start paying more attention to your life in front of your children, in front of your wife, in front of your husband, but most of all in front of God. Because you're still going to have problems after you're saved. You're still going to have problems after you get scripturally baptized. You're still going to have problems after you go to come to church and try to do what he wants. So you better get ready for the long haul. And if you care anything about where you're going to live in heaven and what you're going to do in heaven and whether or not you're pleasing God, don't worry, he'll let you know. The devil will find something to pull you out of church, I guarantee you. I guarantee you he'll do it, and I guarantee you he's an expert, and he's a lot smarter than you are. But you have the mind of Christ. So what does that mean? Every time I'm tempted, and I'm tempted all the time, right in the middle of it, I'll say, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. And I keep praying that and fighting, let him fight, till it just goes away. You say, well, what does that mean? It means I'm walking with God. It means I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm trusting him to get me through whatever I'm going through. That's the only way you're ever going to find any peace in this life. I thought I understood so much when I came up here, and all I understood was what a vain, arrogant booger I was. He says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now take a look at Daniel 7:13-14. Look, you know God loves you. But you also know that he says you only love him because he first loved you. He loved Adam. He knew what he would do. He gave him the woman. He knew what the woman would do. You say, well, why didn't he just go ahead and not go through all that? God wants you to choose to love him. You know how you show you love him? You obey his commandments. After you're saved, after you're a member of the church, you try to obey his commandments. When you fail, ask God to deliver you from the evil one. That's the Lord's Prayer. And I pray it all the time. And you find an inner peace and an inner joy. It cuts down on your pride and your arrogance and your self-centeredness. And there you are. Now, notice what he says. The sea and the waves roaring. I didn't know a thing about oceanography. But I had to go back to advanced forecasting. I didn't want to go back to advanced forecasting. But I had to. And I went to an institution of higher learning, what they call an IHL. And I learned about oceanography. I know about fetch. I know how to forecast waves and all that stuff. I thought, what will I ever use this for? One night I was called in about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was the only oceanographer they had. The national security, even the guy that was in charge of that was my boss. He was always out playing golf. And I was the only one they could get, and I was the only one they had, the oceanographer. Something had gone down off the coast of Kamchatka. They said, something's gone down. One of our special planes. And they said, the commander did, down in the command post, which was inside the agency building. And he said, we need to know. He said, we don't know if it sank or not. But he said, we need for you to draw us up a chart that shows where they're going to do. Well, I can do that. You have to take the actual flow that's there. We got charts that show what it is any time of the year. And I have to know the fetch area. I have to know the fetch area, how far the wind's blown over it, how long it's blown on it. And after you get through with the fetch area, you have to actually figure the sail. You have to know the sail surface. If you got a boat sitting out there, it ain't gonna go too fast. But if you put a sail up on it, whee! The sail surface is how much of it is exposed above the water. Well, I went in and I computed it. And I said, I've got to have a sail service. The commander said, I can't give you that. I said, I can't tell you where the thing's going or how fast it's going or anything else. Yes, you give me how much of it is exposed. Well, here I am. I was an E-9. And I'm not a bad oceanographer. So I said, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. I'm sure I can't do it. So he chewed me out, wanted me to do it anyway. I told him I could not. And so I was the only one there that could, so they had to use me. And he called up to the higher headquarters in the Pentagon, and they said, don't show it to him. And he called back and told me, and I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, you court-martialed me, whatever you want, but I can't tell you where that thing is, and I can't give you a track on it until I know how much of it is exposed above the water. Well, at this time, they called back to the Pentagon, and I think they called, I don't know who they called. They may have called a president. I don't know. But finally, they called back. They took me down in the basement of the National Security Agency. And they showed me what had gone down. Wish I could tell you. But I didn't go anywhere for 7 years after I was retired because of what I knew. And I'm not going to tell you what it was. But I got the sail surface, and they wouldn't get out about what it was. There are two kinds of them. One of them shaped like a cigar, and it goes low. The other one is like a saucer. But I'm not going to tell you what this was. And they have different, and it goes higher. So I was able to tell them where it went. And they went out and looked. They launched the whole Alaskan Air Force trying to find it. It must have sunk. So that was it. I told you all that because God knew what was going to happen. And God knew that was going to impress people. My commander, after I had done that, of the weather station, who played golf all the time, I had one of the most shocking experiences of my life. I went into his office. He had a problem. He was going to a psychiatrist. And he said, "McElmurray, I hate you." I had no idea he was serious. I said, "Why?" He says, "Because you're so D-A-M-N smart." And at least he was honest. And I said, "I'm sorry. I like you, Major." I won't tell you his name. I said, "I like you." And I did. Because he stayed away and bothered. And I ran the whole place. And all the guys liked me, and it was great. I didn't have a thing against him. But in any case, I've told you the story. In my life, God has known everything that was going to happen. I didn't understand that while it was happening. But finally, by this time, I began to understand it. He says, in Daniel 7:13-14, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Jesus Christ is God Himself." Jesus Christ is God Himself. And Jesus Christ took on the form of a man. You'll find him in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "That all people, nations, and languages should serve him." You think knowing what I know, I'm not going to, every time I goof up, that I'm not going to run to him and ask for forgiveness? You think I don't reverently fear God anymore, knowing what I know? This is my life. And I want to present this before I die. And I don't think that's too far away. And he says, "And there was given him, dominion, territory, power, glory, and the kingdom." That's the kingdom of heaven. "That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away." This helped me to understand better about this split rapture. I think I've got it straight. I still can't tell you the day, week, month, or year, but I can get close. Now let's take Zechariah 6:12-13. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch." Jesus is the branch. He's the vine. He's extended to you. He's everything he ever claimed to be. "And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." You think Jesus is going to come back and say, "Okay, give me a hammer here and a load of lumber, and we'll all get out there and I'll start help you build it"? No, it's already in the Bible. read. Just read. Read the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. And read the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel. It's a perfect set of blueprints. It's put in narrative form. When he comes back, those Jews that are part of the split that occurs in heaven, they will use those instructions. He will tell them to build the temple of the Lord. Then he'll disappear. And they'll do exactly what he told them to do. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. That's God. That's Jesus. And shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall between them both. What does it mean, both? Who in Israel ruled? The king and a high priest. Jesus is both. He will sit on the throne of David as both external ruler and external high priest, thereby combining the two offices that existed in the Old Testament structure of Israel. And he will rule over all the earth. He will be king, and he will be the high priest. He is already my high priest in heaven. He is already my king. And he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. So the question is, what am I going to serve him? How am I going to serve him? The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one, and he will both be king and high priest. That's the second sheet. Still two sheets to go. And I will work on these two sheets. And not this coming Sunday, but the present Sunday, but the next Sunday after that. I'm going to continue on this and let you know your own mind. You know what you're missing if you don't get interested in this? You're missing a blessing. Because, listen, look at what he did. I mean, look at what he's done. You think God doesn't own that? You think God doesn't have all power in heaven and earth? You think he's not going to burn up this planet? When they come back in the millennial reign and through there, they're going to come back to a burnt place, and it's going to be rebuilt. But you know what's going to happen at the end of that? They're not going to obey him in that either. And they'll turn against him at the end. But that'll be the last of it. We won't have to worry about the devil anymore. Because the devil is concerned about us. If we're not saved, he's worried about us going to heaven. He's worried about it. The devil worries. He surely does. He's got good reason to worry. And he doesn't want us to go to heaven. And if we get saved and get scripturally baptized, well, he doesn't want us to get scripturally baptized. And if we get scripturally baptized, he doesn't want us to come to church. And who are you turning down? Who are you failing to serve? God. Well, I'm thankful that he said grace, because you'll find in 2 Peter 3 and 9, I believe, where he talks about what God's plan is. And yeah, I know, and I agree with what Chuck preaches on this stuff. But I also believe what he believes, that the grace part, until you get saved, that's what the grace part is. Because he opened up the door for you. And if you don't take advantage of that door, Katie, bar the door. Look, I finished exactly at 12. He stuck in his thumb.